going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, 97.5, the Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio only from Comcast. Great to be with you here on this Thursday night. A lot of football chatter in the air today. Of course, a lot of commentary off of yesterday. We heard from the Eagles, well, not general manager, but he's basically in the role, Howie Roseman. We heard from Doug Peterson, a lot of callers weighing in on what they heard and what they interpreted. Obviously, a lot of guests jumping in as well to try to figure out this Sam Bradford situation. It may be a Bradford situation. It may be someone else. You never know. But certainly tonight, we'll talk about it with you at 610-632-0975 and continue to get expert opinions. We shoot it out right now to Indianapolis. It's funny. Yesterday, I said I mistakenly said that it was the NFL's owners meeting. I should know it's the combine. It's kind of important. You know, like the Eagles are trying to figure out who to draft, actually get this thing going in the right way. And my co-host all football season on Friday nights joins us here on the Comcast Business Hotline to weigh in with the very latest on sort of what the lay of the land is with Sam Bradford and the Eagles. Let's go to Indy and talk to Adam Kaplan. Adam, what's going on, man?
Joe, good to talk to you. Yes, I got out to Indy on Tuesday, and I will be here until Monday. And you mentioned the NFL owners meetings. Those are March 20th.
Yeah.
The 23rd in Boca Raton, Florida. I'll be there too, but certainly a lot of rumors and speculation about Bradford, what the Eagles might do in free agency. So lots going on. And then, by the way, this is where a lot of this goes down. It starts because this is when agents and teams start getting idea from talking to each other about what might happen.
Absolutely. Adam, let's just start open-ended question. What do you perceive at this moment the market to be for Sam Bradford?
Well, that's actually where this thing is at. I don't get the feeling from sharing thoughts with a lot of people around the league that Sam Bradford has a big market right now. You know, other than the Eagles, who clearly want him back. I would say with 100% authority here that the Eagles barely want him to come back. When let me explain to you what that means. They really feel that they want to build on last season, the way he closed last season. And I've used this phrase before. He left you wanting to see more, and they think they could win with Sam Bradford. But there is going to be, like there was with Jeremy Maclin, a number that they will not go off over. If his agent Tom Condon wants more, they're going to be pretty firm, I think, on it. I don't think there should be a lot of wiggle room. This is not going to be a mega deal here. We're not talking about a ton of guaranteed money. I think it's going to be a fair number when this comes in, if it does. And if Condon doesn't want to do it, then Condon will have to move on. And which leads you to my next point. I don't think there's a real big market for him. You know, when you look at 31 other teams, there are probably 8 that need a quarterback, varying levels of need. And then there are probably 3 or 4 that I think are going to look to select one high in the draft. That includes the Houston Texans, who have been rumored to might have interest in Bradford, but I don't buy that for a second. I feel strongly that the Texans, Joe, are going to select a quarterback in the first 2 rounds. I don't think they'll go past that. They already have Tom Savage, who they're sort of intrigued with, and they also have Brian Hoyer as a backup. So I really don't think Sam Bradford was ever on the radar other than rumor because they needed to add another quarterback.
Adam, are you surprised? I am. Are you surprised that the market does not seem more robust for Bradford? That teams like the Jets and the Bills and the Texans and others may be disinclined to go the direction of Bradford?
Well, now I would also tell you this, and I'm glad you brought that up. We still are 13 days from free agency. One or two teams could emerge here, but they have not emerged yet. The agents had their big meeting today. The yearly meeting here in Indianapolis. I was there outside the meeting room for about 5 hours talking to agents as they came out. But just talking teams over the last 48 hours, we've not heard a team emerge. Now, you didn't mention the Cleveland Browns, who had significant interest. As a matter of fact, the Browns offered the 19th pick overall last year, which I reported maybe late last March or early April. And also, they had interest in moving Johnny Manziel in that trade, but it just didn't work out. But the fact of the matter is the Browns had interest. But remember, that was a different regime and a different coaching staff. So I have not heard the Browns this time around have any interest. But we do have time here, Joe. So if you hear stuff this week, it may change next week. But right to sum this up, where we are right now, I don't think the market's real big now.
All right, the other factor with Cleveland, obviously, is at pick two, they totally control their own destiny for getting one of the rookie quarterbacks. If, you know, I mean, obviously, because Tennessee's picking one. Tennessee's not taking a QB because they have Mariota. They could trade the pick. Even if some team slides up to number one, Cleveland can still get a quarterback at two if they want. Do you get the impression? Because I agree with you. I mean, the teams that really have stood out the whole time have been Houston and Cleveland as maybe the main targets that Bradford could shoot for externally beyond the Eagles. But, you know, I mean, Houston, we're hearing rumblings that they're not perhaps as interested in Cleveland. I think the thought process is, and give me your perspective, but at pick two, you know, you don't get that chance to pick that high in the draft that often, and it's not a great quarterback crop, but certainly there are some names that are somewhat intriguing. Do you think they lean toward, you know, going a Bradford route or a rookie QB?
No, I think, well, first of all, they wouldn't go with Bradford because they have Josh McCown, who played extremely well last season before he got hurt. And he's what we call a bridge quarterback. And I don't know that Sam Bradford would be better than him. So, no, I would be surprised, to answer your question, if they went after Bradford. Because what you do is, if you're going to bring a veteran in, you want that guy to be clearly better than Josh McCown. And I don't know that Sam Bradford would be better than Josh McCown. People could say what they want about what I just said, but that's pretty much the way people think of the National Football League. And then when you go down the top 10, well, obviously, the Chargers are not going to go for a quarterback. The Cowboys, they may draft a quarterback, but you don't get the sense from talking to people here that they're going to take a quarterback at four. And that's really not – Jerry Jones is never – he's never about – the future. He's always about now. He's a now administrator. He's always trying to win now. And they have Tony Romo, and they cannot get at Tony Romo's contract for about 2 years. The dead money is ridiculously bad. Jaguars aren't going for a quarterback, obviously. The Ravens, they're going to try to get Joe Flacco's extension done and restructure. They want him to be their quarterback for the rest of his career. Well, then it comes to number seven with the Niners. And that's a real intriguing team here. But, you know, they've gone on record and shifted.
Yep.
Saying that Colin Kaepernick's going to be their guy. Well, we'll see. I mean, things could always change. We'll have to see. I know that Kaepernick's representatives are meeting with the Niners over the next 24 hours, but the Niners have made it clear publicly, which surprised us all here, that he's their guy. So we'll take him for the word. Dolphins aren't. Bucks aren't. Giants are not looking for a quarterback. Jay Cutler's still the quarterback for the Bears. We all expect that. 12, the Saints, they're not going to be taking quarterback in the first round. And it comes to your Eagles at 13. So I think that Wentz at 2 makes sense. And then Goff somewhere along the line there, maybe at 7, maybe not at 7. Again, if we're taking the Niners at the word, then they're not taking a quarterback at 7. And then after that, Goff could drift a little bit. We'll have to see.
Adam, what about the Rams? I mean, under normal circumstances, you would never think a team would take a quarterback back that they traded a year before. But as we look at the landscape of the Eagles and how the chess pieces move around here, does the fact that they move to Los Angeles, I mean, I would think it makes them a little bit more inclined to go for Bradford because it's not the same fan base that experienced the Bradford thing and wasn't happy with it. Do you think the move from St. Louis to L.A. puts the Rams organization back in play for Bradford in a way that it otherwise would not be if they had stuck in St. Louis?
Well, they're going to add a quarterback. That's 100% that they're going to do that, whether Nick Foles is on the team or not. They're going to add a quarterback. And I would add this. It because the free agency pool is so small, I don't know if they're going to bring anyone significant out of free agency, but they could look in the first two rounds to take quarterback. When 15th, the Rams, I mean, they've got to figure this quarterback thing out. Jeff Fisher's not been able to do that. They have not been able to figure out this quarterback situation for several years, and I think they're going to do something. I just don't see Bradford going back there. I get what you're saying, but that is not – I mean, I've not heard that. And I know there are a lot of rumors out there, but I've not heard that they would have any interest in bringing Bradford back.
Adam Kaplan with us here on the Fanatic Comcast Business Hotline. Joe DeCamera with you. Adam, you used an interesting phrase earlier when talking about some of these teams and in relation to Bradford, and you used the phrase that other teams, from a Bradford standpoint, have not, quote, emerged yet. And I'm wondering, to what extent at this time of the year, because a lot of times a lot emerges. We know the way it works. We know the NFL's 24/7, 365. We all get it. Donovan McNabb got traded on Easter Sunday. Anything can happen at any time. But usually stuff does kind of leak out. But I can also see, though, why an organization may not perhaps want it to leak out. If an organization does not, in this range of time, express an interest or have it kind of get out there that they may be interested in Bradford when free agency opens, it may make the Eagles, for instance, inclined to think they don't have to franchise Bradford, let him get to free agency, and the next thing you know, a team that you might not have thought was going to swoop in might be a team that swoops in after being real quiet for a couple weeks. Do you see that as a potential possibility?
Listen. We're 13 days away from free agency, so that could certainly happen. I think it's a fair point. Yes, I think that could happen. Yeah, and teams sometimes they don't want to give up leverage. Also, so yeah, I could see that.
Adam, what'd you make of what Roseman and Doug Peterson said yesterday on the quarterback front? We'll get to the other stuff, but specifically to Bradford and the quarterback position at large. What was your interpretation of how they handled it publicly yesterday?
Well, they were very open. I think Howie made it pretty clear. I mean, they definitely want him back, and I've heard that privately from people that it's clear the Eagles want him back, and they want to take another look at him. But the contract structure is a real issue to me. They've got to protect themselves because if it doesn't work, they got to be able to get out of the contract without a lot of dead money. And Eagles historically have done such a good job of structuring contracts and not having a lot of dead money if they had to move on from someone. So I would expect this structure to be very favorable. But at least a lot, let's put it this way, they've got to be able to get out after year two.
Yep, exactly.
They're
right.
Kind of like they did with Maxwell. They have to, just like they do with Maxwell and Murray now. The decision to sign those guys was not about, it wasn't Roseman's call. He just did the contracts. But with Bradford, based on his injury history and his inconsistency, they've got to be able to get out of the contract after year two.
Yeah, see, Adam, I think you hit on it right there. And I talked about this last night. To me, the years, you sign the guy for 5 years, sign him for 15 years, sign him for 50 years. I don't care. To me, it's all about when you can get out of it. And if the Eagles can structure it in a way that they get out of it after 2 years, I think that's palatable. If it goes beyond that, because of his lack of historical productivity, I think that they put themselves in a real danger territory. And I think your instincts are dead on. And I guess the question a lot of us wonder is, what is the likelihood that Howie Roseman, Sam Bradford, Tom Condon can come to an agreement that is beneficial to the Eagles in that regard, still pays Bradford some coin, but gives the Eagles the leverage to be able to get out of it if they want to after second year. How likely is that?
It'd be if Condon doesn't find another team or two. I think Condon's good. This is the way I would look at your question and the probability. If Condon cannot find a second team or a third team that really wants him, then the Eagles have the leverage to offer him what they think he's worth rather than what Condon thinks he's worth. And that to me is pretty much been the issue. When you and I talked about why the Eagles should use the franchise tag, you and I just thought that at least that would keep them here for a year. It's a little bit more than you'd like to go, but the Eagles didn't want to go to 20, 19 and a half, 21 million. They don't think he's worth that kind of money. So what that number is going to be, is it 15 million? Is it 17 million a year over two? Is it 12? That's going to be determined on leverage. And that right now, I don't think Condon has that, but he certainly can get it. As I said, if two teams emerge, not just to bring Bradford in to compete for $8 million a year, because let's put it this way, if the Eagles get a deal done with Bradford, he's their starter, at least for year one.
It has and to then be, yeah, certainly. Yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, it I would also say this, it doesn't preclude them from bringing in Chase Daniel for someone who can at least compete against Bradford. But obviously, if you bring back Bradford, you're thinking is he's going to be at least your starter for year one, but you have someone like Daniel who gets the offense, who could go in there, or maybe he can't miss a beat. But I don't think Daniel would come in anywhere, by the way, where he can't compete. He's not going anywhere to be a backup. He wants to be a starter. I think that's kind of where he is.
Adam, I made the point last night on my show that, and clearly this situation is still fluid. It's totally unresolved, so it could still spiral in a number of different directions. But I made the point last night on my show, I think people might have to start getting with the possibility here that Howie Roseman has played this, frankly, a lot better than a lot of other people would have, and that a lot of people expected him to play it. There's a possibility when you look at this market, as you go through these teams, as I go through the teams, you start realizing, Kaepernick, sticking with San Fran, and, it looks like, according to some comments we've heard, that Houston might go with a rookie, and, right on down the line, it looks like that Roseman's got a decent shot to get Sam Bradford at a far lesser per-year deal than a lot of us thought. And I know it's strange territory for people to say, but they might have to get with the fact Howie Roseman might have played this one the right way.
Well, yeah, not only that, I actually was talking to a couple contract negotiators from other teams last night, and they both agreed on something I put out there about 6 weeks ago, that the contract without the franchise tag that you would look at would probably be a little bit lesser than Alex Smith's $17 million a year, maybe about 15. Maybe some around there is pretty reasonable. But the problem there is that you can't justify paying him 15 a year with really strong guaranteed money based on his injury history. You have to have protection. So let's put it this way, Joe. If they pay him $15 million in year one, they got to be able to get out with very little dead money after the second year, or even, quite frankly, if they load up on the first year, to be able to get out after year one with not a lot of guaranteed money. So that's why Roseman was smart not to tag him. It could be as much as $21 million. But understand this. You could always rescind the tag. The Eagles did it years ago, I think, with Corey Simon.
Correct, and Trot, ultimately. That's correct. Yep. Adam Kaplan on the Fanatic. All right, Adam, let's ping-pong around a couple other Eagles issues here. We'll start with some of the players they've retained of their own from their own roster and players that, frankly, I think they gave an unbelievable amount of money to. Borderline concerning, if you ask me. Now, I know the cap's going up. I get all that. But I look at Vinnie Curry. Just at a glance, I say, wow, Vinnie Curry, that much money. I look at Lane Johnson, same reaction. I look at Zach Ertz, same reaction. Am I reading this wrong? I mean, is Howie Roseman stretching this a little far? Is this really market value? Is this an indication of how high the cap's going? What do you make of the financial commitment the Eagles have made to some of their own?
Well, Joe, I think when you look at, first of all, we'll start with Zach Ertz. What they're doing is, it's all based on projection over like a 3-year period. Okay, we've seen Ertz. We like the kid. We want him to be around a long time. We're going to sign him early. We're not going to wait till his contract is going to expire. And we're going to take it. We could take a little bit of a discount. We're going to give him pretty good guaranteed money up front. Signing bonus was $8 million. The total guarantee was $21 million. But if we think he's a top 10 quarter tight end, maybe perhaps top 5 by year 2 or 3 of this deal, well, you know what? With the cap going up $10 million a year, we actually got a significant benefit here by doing it early. But it does look, when you see Zach Ertz, geez, he's so inconsistent. He's good, but he hasn't been great yet. Well, part of it is you're betting on future productivity, which is what Joe Banner did very brilliantly for so many years, where, yes, they did something that was sort of unprecedented, but it turned out to be the smartest thing. But the Eagles have to, by the way, if they're not right on their evaluation of Ertz, then they obviously made a terrible mistake where the kid got the advantage.
Yep, absolutely. Adam, it certainly sounds like the Eagles are still keeping their eggs in Jason Peters' basket. I understand why. Yeah. At the same time, you know, there were some issues last year from a health standpoint. You said, boy, how much does this guy have left, especially at that price? Do you think their strategy with Peters is on point?
Yeah, I mean, I said, it might have been with you, I can't remember. I was asked like 3 weeks ago about Jason Peters and the rumors he might be cut. I said, no, that's not what I've heard. They fully intend to bring him back, even with Lane Johnson's contract extension. He's going to be back for this year. He's got a cap number at $9.737 million. That's a little high for someone 33 years old, but they feel that they at least get one more good year out of him. They're going to go year to year with this guy. $1 million of his base salary becomes fully guaranteed on March 13th, but they're not concerned about that. And they want to go. They want to see here what happens after the season. But they know what the problem is. It's the guard play. You're going to have two new starting guards. Allen Barber should be their sixth offensive lineman. That's really what he was signed to be, and it didn't work out as a starter. And then, as you said, because you watched the tape, Jason Kelsey's got to get back to where he was a couple years ago.
Has to. Adam, the wide receiver position's kind of been a mess ever since Chip showed DeSean Jackson the door. Now, certainly Jeremy Maclin had one fantastic year. But beyond that, you know, two bad years from Riley Cooper. Huff has not emerged. Jordan Matthews is a solid player but drops a lot of balls, does play only in the slot to this point, essentially. Not a threat outside. And they drafted Aguilar, who certainly was a disappointment in year one. I kind of come from the vantage point that because they drafted Aguilar in the first round, you know, I think they sort of have almost no choice but to give it a shot, put him out there and see what he can do, knowing that he might not be good enough. What's your read on the wide receiver position? I mean, like anybody, I'd love to see three great wide receivers sign, but they have needs everywhere, and I think they've got to kind of hope Aguilar can deliver. What's your sense?
I think they're going to add a receiver in free agency. I couldn't tell you if it's going to be the first 2 days or a month from now. I think they'll add one. They need to. I think it's obvious. And I
think mid or low level? I mean, it can't be anyone of a high nature, high level nature.
Well, Jeffrey's going to stay with Chicago. They're going to put the franchise tag on him if they can't get him signed by Tuesday. Then after that, I mean, you've got Marvin Jones, who's a nice player, but he's not a lead receiver. He's an excellent number two. Travis Benjamin, the Browns want to bring him back. Just talking to someone about an hour ago, they're not close to a deal, but they're confident they can get a deal done before free agency starts. But he is DeSean Jackson Jr., Travis Benjamin, the Browns. This kid is explosive. He's a terrific football player. By the way, he's also a good returner. He will have significant interest if he makes it to a free agency. But I don't think the Eagles are looking to spend a lot at receiver in free agency. I think they're looking to add a veteran, someone who's been in the league a little bit. And I think they'll add one in the draft. They need more competition. I mean, right now it's Jordan Matthews, as you said, Aguilar on the outside. Yeah. He did not play well as a rookie, but the Eagles remain very high on him. And Josh Huff, who is at best inconsistent, who's really been a disappointment, and that's it. I mean, you tell me. Who else is left?
There's no one left. Adam, the last couple of years, you know, we got very accustomed, obviously, to the Eagles, essentially because of Chip Kelly being a marquee narrative around the league during the season, during the offseason. It seemed like in the offseason there was a huge feature story on the Eagles almost every 2 to 3 days of the offseason. Obviously, things have changed dramatically without Chip. When you're out there in Indy, you're talking to people. I'm assuming the buzz is a lot less intense surrounding the Eagles. I mean, what is the nature of national discussion that you encounter about the Eagles these days?
Well, I would tell you, well, just real quick on Chip. And it's definitely true. He's told people privately all he wants to do is coach. He just wants to get back to what he thought was going to happen during year one with the Eagles. He just where he could coach, other people run personnel, and he can run a system. He's got good sports science people in San Francisco where he doesn't really have to do anything. By the way, the Niners were running sports science before Chip got there, so it was not a big overhaul at all. In fact, they're not overhauling at all. They're just going to keep running it. But that's the sentiment on Chip. He actually is telling the truth. He wasn't just trying to cover up because he didn't do a great job in personnel. He actually just wants to coach. But now the sentiment with the Eagles is kind of a team in transition. Teams are trying to figure out who they are, where they're going for that. And I would say this, though, the comments about the extended contracts have been applauded around the league. Smart thing to get these guys early. But a team that they're trying to figure out what the roster is going to look like. They look like sort of an average team because they've not figured out the quarterback position at all.
All right, Adam, final thing here with you, and I appreciate extended time from Indy at the Combine. When you look at the Eagles roster and then you look at the other three teams in the division, certainly it was not a very good division in 2015. No, Washington won almost by process of elimination. Tony Romo's injury obviously changed the whole equation. As you project the division next year, you think the Eagles can compete? What do you see? What do you make of this division in 2016?
Well, Joe, I mean, you know as well as I, we haven't even hit free agency yet. Yeah. So we can only go by what they look like right now. The problem is that without that second-round pick, it hurts you a little bit from someone who could compete for a starting job right away. You know, second-round picks all the time compete for starting jobs, so they're not going to have that unless they're able to acquire one. And that's a little bit of a problem. I think that when you really look at it, I think defensively they're going to be fantastic under Jim Schwartz. The guy, he's one of the best defensive coaches since I've been covering the league in 17 years. The guy's phenomenal. And this was a home-run hire by Doug Peterson. And by the way, he didn't even know. He had no relationship.
Yeah, I heard that. What makes him phenomenal, Adam? What's the deal?
Really, really aggressive. And it permeates, talking to coaches that work with him, it permeates throughout we're not going to say he's Buddy Ryan that aggressive, but he's a step below where the instant buy-in of a system that has sustainability. You just don't see this. Billy Davis did not have sustainability with what he was doing. Jim Schwartz will find a way to make everything work to their ability with the 43 scheme with a wide nine front. They're going to put up big sack numbers, big turnover numbers. Their secondary is going to be better, way better than it was last year, and they're just going to be better. But offensively, we talked about the guard issues, receivers issues are a real problem, and quarterback. So the problem is, you know, it's the offense now. It's not the defense. I think the offensive personnel clearly is not good enough.
Adam, good stuff, man. I mean, not good stuff with the Eagles offense, but hopefully it gets better. Have fun in Indy. We'll be talking to you, obviously, over the next couple days. I know you'll be checking in with the station throughout the next couple days with the Combine, and I'll catch up with you when you get back to Philly. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
All right, Adam Kaplan, Comcast Business Hotline. Anything and everything that Adam and I talked about, jump in, 610-632-0975. Your opportunity to react. We hit the phone calls next. We'll take it till Flyers hockey, Flyers and the Wild tonight at 7. Also, when we get back, an opportunity for you to win tickets to the Sixers game happening March 2nd and a spot in the Fanatic game and knockout to play hoops on the Wells Fargo Center floor after that game. That's all up ahead next. Your calls next. React to Kaplan. Everything he said, Joe DeCamera on the Fanatic.
We know you love data. Now you can love even more of it because Boost Mobile gives you tons of data at crazy low prices starting at $35 a month. And because we know you always want more, only Boost grows your data free after 3 on-top payments. Get up to an extra 3 gigabytes of high-speed data just for being a customer. That's right. For $35 a month, get unlimited talk, text, and growing data at no extra charge. Plus, Boost always has your back. We're not like other carriers who shut you off if you get busy and forget to make a payment. Don't put up with that. Stay connected and get extra days to pay with Boost. What are you waiting for? Switch to Boost today and get growing data, extra days to pay, and for a limited time, get a free 4G LTE phone. Visit your nearest Boost mobile store today.
$35 plan includes 2 gigabytes of high-speed data per month. Extra 500 megabytes added after 3 on-time payments, up to 3 gigabytes maximum. Once applicable, high-speed data depleted, speeds reduced to 2G speeds. International extra. Free inbound calls and texts only and only monthly plans 90 days from last successful payment. Free phone ends 4/5/16. Limited to select models while supplies last and only for new monthly activations ported from select carriers. Offer subject to change at any time. Additional restrictions apply. See BoostMobile.com or store for details.
Chipotle here with another secret ingredient. This one's called beans. These beans come from a real, actual place called a farm. Through a process we've named cooking, we simmer these beans with tasty things called spices and serve them with other secret ingredients like rice and pork. Try beans in your burrito or salad at Chipotle Mexican Grill.
We got the deals, and you need the wheels at Key of Westchester and Key of Coatesville. Right now, get up to $6,000 over Kelley Blue Book fair market value for any trade. New 2016 Kia Souls or new 2015 Kia Optimas are $111 per month, or drive home two for $222. And always remember, Jim Cipolla wants to see you in a Kia.
Qualified buyers, 36-month leases, $31.11 each at inception, plus tax and tag, no security deposit, 10,000 miles per year, negative equity refinance, dealer retains all factory rebates. Offers don't combine, expires months end.
Some say bigger is better, but that's not always true. What if your bank merges into a big bank and suddenly you feel like just a number? Hi, I'm Mike Kahn, president of Univest Bank. We understand how important it is to work with professionals focused on your business, making decisions locally, and delivering the business banking solutions you desire. You aren't just a number with us. Bank local with Univest.
Visit univest.net. Univest Bank and Trustco is member FDIC.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Plasky with Plasky Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas. The attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
This is an important message for anyone that has lost money on popular fantasy sports sites, FanDuel or DraftKings. If you lost money on these fantasy sports sites, you may be entitled to compensation. Several states have declared these organizations are running illegal gambling sites. If you paid money to FanDuel or DraftKings and lost all your money, call 800-248-0766 now, as you may be entitled to compensation. Gambling can be an addiction. Losing your rent money or car payment is not a game. If you or a loved one lost money gambling on FanDuel or DraftKings, call 800-248-0766 now for a free evaluation. You may be entitled to compensation. If you lost money on FanDuel or DraftKings sites, call 800-248-0766. That's 800-248-0766. 800-248-0766.
Pizza Hut's $5 flavor menu is the first way to say yes to any two or more of your favorites for just $5 each. That's yes to medium one-topping pizzas, Wing Street wings, and Hershey's dessert. Feels good to say yes to the $5 flavor menu only at Pizza Hut.
Limited time offer. Additional charge for extra cheese, toppings, and pan crust. Hershey's trademark used under license.
Wake up.
Good morning.
And get up.
We are back and better than ever.
With Mike and Mike. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, or on demand on the ESPN app.
QL1, this is Control. Does Rocket Mortgage require me to come in and speak with someone?
Negative, Control. With Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, you can go through the entire mortgage process on your own and completely online.
Copy that, QL1, but if I wanted to speak to someone, do you think they're out there?
They're out there, all right. Their award-winning client service is beyond anything I've ever experienced.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket. Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button, get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org number 33.
Listen to what Dave Ryan says about Andro 400.
Andro 400, I really love it. It's amazing to me that I feel so good. I've lost 50 pounds. I was a size 38 waist. I've gone down to a 32 waist. My mood has changed. I don't get stressed out. It gave me so much more energy. Energy to walk. Energy to play sports. Everything is starting to work again, just like I'm 25. My wife is happy. I'm so happy. I'm just a completely different man. I'm taking this stuff to the grave with me.
Men, have you lost energy and gained belly fat? Are you feeling stressed out? Fight back with Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to increase your testosterone. For over a decade, Andro 400 has helped men lose belly fat, gain energy, and feel 20 years younger. Go to Andro400.com, Andro400.com, or call 866-546-1955, 866-546-1955.
Finally, a local news app made for you. Download the NBC 10 app to your phone today and get only the information you want. Simple, straightforward, easy to navigate. Get the latest breaking news stories quicker. Stories that impact Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. Plus, first alert weather for your neighborhood, your work, even your children's school, with custom alerts sent right to your phone. Download the new NBC 10 app today.
Tonight on NBC, it's an all-new night of TV so good it'll make you say, dang.
Beginning with my new favorite, You, Me, and the Apocalypse.
Oh, then get Black and Blue.
Nice.
With The Blacklist, mm-hmm. followed by Shades of Blue.
Okay, this is an episode of The Blacklist that you absolutely, positively have got to see.
Huge secrets will be revealed.
Then it's Shades of Blue.
Two reasons why I love Shades of Blue, okay?
Okay.
J-Lo.
Yeah.
And Raylo. So you better watch.
Tonight on NBC.
Watch NBC 10 tonight starting at 8.
This is Jason Martinez for Concordville Subaru. You can join decades of happy customers and choose from hundreds of vehicles. Come in for a new 2016 Subaru Legacy 2.5i Premium. Lease for $159 per month for 36 months. Shop Concordville Subaru. Route 202 South, 5 minutes from Westchester and Wilmington, and 24/7 at 202subaru.com. Come see why our customers say Conkerville cares.
Model code GAD11. $29.95 down plus first payment. $5.95 bank fee, dock fee, tax and tag due at signing. $0 security deposit, 10,000 miles per year with proof credit.
This Flyers game preview is brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light.
Flyers begin a six-game homestand tonight against the Minnesota Wild, hoping to regain the form they had a month and a half ago. The Flyers are returning home from a 2-2-1 trip that ended with Tuesday's 3-1 loss to Carolina, despite putting 37 shots on net. Shane Gostisbehere's 15-game point streak was one of the casualties of Tuesday's loss, something the rookie defenseman isn't overly sad to see go. Steve Mason figures to be back in net after Michael Neuberg faced the Hurricanes and replaced Mason in Saturday's 5-4 overtime win in Toronto. Coverage of the Flyers' Wild game begins at 7 on your home for Philadelphia Flyers hockey, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue, the official Canadian import beer of your Philadelphia Flyers. Always enjoy responsibly.
Check the camera, 97.5, the Fanatic from the Xfinity Studio with you till the start of the Flyers pregame show. Flyers and the Wild coming up at 7 o'clock tonight. I'll also be back later on around 10 o'clock or so till midnight. Jump aboard the phone line, 610-632-0975. A lot to react to from what Adam and I were just talking about. Also, let's give away right now on the contest line tickets to the 76ers game versus Charlotte happening March the 2nd. At the Wells Fargo Center. Four tickets on the line right now to the game and entry into the Fanatic 76ers game of knockout. We'll take the fourth caller on the contest line, 215-263-0975. Fourth caller, come play hoops with us after the game, floor of the Wells Fargo Center, March 2nd, coming up in just a couple of weeks, coming up next week, I guess it is. All right, let's go to the phone, 610-632-0975. Obviously, Adam and I touched on a lot of territory there. It does seem more and more that the market for Sam Bradford is less than a lot of us anticipated it would be. And I heard some of the guys talking earlier today, and they made some interesting points that, you know, that may be a heck of an indication of what the league thinks of Bradford. I mean, really. I mean, I don't know how else to read it. If the New York Jets really feel that sticking with Ryan Fitzpatrick's the way to go, I mean, first off, I don't think it's the way they should go, but it does tell you something about the way the league seems to perceive Sam Bradford. Now, with that said, as I mentioned to Adam in a question, I guess you really do have to continue to realize that, as Adam pointed out, you know, the free agent period hasn't begun yet. And as I mentioned to him, there certainly could be some incentive for teams not to tip their hands to express interest during this period, at least certainly not to publicly express interest during this period, because they might want to swoop in once free agency opens after the Eagles have made their final decision not to franchise Bradford during the franchise period. So, you know, certainly we can't yet determine the real true full landscape of what Tom Condon, Bradford, the Eagles, and other teams are looking at. But certainly you can look at it different ways and say, well, on one hand, it seems like the market's a lot less than the perception is that it would be for Bradford. On the other hand, as we all know, this is always a game of chicken. We see that especially come draft time with the way teams put information and misinformation out there about their pursuits of draft picks leading up to the draft. I mean, really, by extension, it's certainly no shock that they may be incentivized to want to have direction or misdirection put out there about free agent aspirations as well. So a lot of different ways to look at it, but it does seem on the surface that the market's less for Bradford than anticipated and that could benefit the Eagles. All right, let's go to the phone, 610-632-0975. We kick it off with Aaron in Upper Darby. Aaron, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Aaron, what up, man?
Hey, I just hearing a lot of talk about, you know, Bradford's value and people don't want to overpay him and things like that. I, for one, I do think that we should get Bradford. And I have a question for you. What is the indication that Bradford doesn't have a lot of value or interest over the league?
Well, there's a couple. One big one is that San Francisco has announced publicly they're sticking with Colin Kaepernick. Another big one is the fact that the Houston Texans owner came out and specifically talked about their desire to draft a quarterback in this year's draft. And, you know, and then you look at the landscape. I mean, they're the two big ones, I'd say. But when you look at the rest of it, you know, Cleveland at two has a prime position to get a first round pick from a rookie. Like if there weren't three quarterbacks in this draft for the first round, and if Cleveland wasn't lined up at number two, and if Cleveland was picking number 22, you'd say, hey, Cleveland at 22 might not get the QB they want in the draft. They're going to be all in to go get Bradford, but that's not the case. So when you kind of start lining everything up, you start realizing there's a lot of stuff working against Bradford and kind of helping the Eagles here.
Okay, now that definitely makes sense, and that enlightened me some. I just hope that the Eagles don't make the mistake of thinking that, because Bradford, out of all those teams, I believe that he would start if he was on them.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. Yep.
He's our best bona fide starter. However, the reason why he is not value, I think the market say that he should get in around $18 million or so, but the reason why people are concerned with paying him that much is because of our center play. When I look at our offensive line, the worst position, I don't know, maybe it was the volume of plays, Kelce had a tremendous drop. And I feel like he's getting a pass. So everyone's saying we need guards and so forth. I think our guards, where they were drafted, did okay. I think that Kelce just could not really protect Bradford against any good. Can you imagine Fletcher Cox going up against Kelce?
Yeah.
He would destroy him. I mean, so I think Kelce got to get it together. Maybe they're going to slow it down. Or maybe he'll be our guard that everyone's saying we need.
he's not going to be the guard, Aaron. I appreciate the call. Kelce did not, has not, and will not get a pass from me. And those of you that have listened to me, you know, going back toward last season, obviously know the way I felt. I was frequently critical of Kelce's play. He had a dramatic drop. Obviously the guards were not expected to be great because, you know, they were backups thrust into the role of a starter. Jason Kelce, on the other hand, was a pretty darn proven, at that point, I think, 4 or 5 year NFL veteran who had long come off the, you know, the big injury he had back in Andy Reid's last year. So health wasn't an issue from that standpoint. You know, look, Jason Kelce took a dramatic step backwards, and that's why I speculated many times about whether the Eagles not only should bring him back or not, and I think they probably should, but whether they should bring him back on the contract that, you know, the terms he's slated to make based on the contract he signed a couple years ago. And that's a very debatable thing. Here's the one thing I'll say in support of Jason Kelce. Two things. One, he has shown a track record of success in the past, so you can't just throw that out. The guy has had success. Two, there are, well, three things. Two, there are a lot of people that believe those guards really worked against him from the standpoint of the lack of continuity really affected the overall makeup of that line and made Kelce look particularly bad in a way that with continuity, you know, he could have looked better. And three, there's a lot of people, and Mark Schlereth is one of them, that were very vocal, NFL-type people, very vocal, that the style of offense that Chip ran was particularly bad for Kelce in light of the fact that he consistently had to pull, and he was, I think the way, and we could in future shows bring up the Schlereth audio, but essentially that they were putting such burden on Kelce to do what he had to do within the structure of that offense to the point where a lot of people even think that's what affected his snaps. That when you look, when he was, I mean, his snaps were awful. To be straight up, I don't ever remember an Eagle center ever having a worse season of snaps. We talk about catches and tackles and drops and completions and good things and bad. I mean, we talk about all this stuff in football. How many years have we spent, have we ever spent talking so often about, yo, center, just snap the ball the right way? It was ridiculous. But at the same time, there are a lot of people that will tell you that are close to the action. The fact that he had to pull out so frequently to get around the corner to try to be a lead blocker, and especially in light of the fact that the guards were overmatched, affected his snapping. Right, wrong, or indifferent, people will tell you that. Let's go to Eric and Manioc. Eric, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Eric?
All right. I have a quick comparison. I know you've compared Bradford to Iguodala before.
Yes.
And that's true. I also think there's a very strong comparison to an Andrew Bynum sitting out there right now. His name is RG3. So hear me out for a second. If we sign Bradford, whatever it costs, let's just say it's a team-friendly $15 million for 2 to 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. He's mediocre at best. We've done the ranks. He's like the 17 through the 22. He's not taking us to the promised land at all. You might as well take a flyer on RG3. His rookie year, he was great. If he gets there again, great. If he doesn't, we stink, we tank, we get a top pick next year. This year's draft is not quarterback strong. The top pick is from North Dakota State, for God's sake. We might as well just get RG3. If he's great, he's great. If he's awful, he's awful. We build it up the same way the Sixers did in 2010.
All right, let me tell you what I'd say to that, though, Eric. You better be prepared for the likelihood, not possibility, likelihood that he will be awful and that the Eagles will be awful. And if you want that, you can accept that. And there's a lot of callers that have called in and advocated a 76ers sort of strategy for the Eagles for a season. But I'm just telling you, don't think that it's 50-50. It's like 15-85.
I agree with that completely. But hear me out, though. What is the chances that Bradford actually wins us a Super Bowl?
Probably very slim.
Zero, right?
Well,
it's between zero and like 10.
Yes, it's between zero and five.
Exactly. So we might as well take a flyer. What do we have to lose?
Well, I'd say this. I'd consider taking a flyer as a backup on RG3. It doesn't mean you necessarily have to play him. I mean, see if you can get him rehabilitated. But I'm just telling you this. I think RG3 is, I think he's totally done. I don't want to say totally done. I think he is so much closer to done than promising. It's not even close.
And I agree with that. But I just think that people who want Bradford, even if it's for $15 million, which is very team friendly for a starting quarterback in the NFL, he's not going to take us anywhere. It's literally
on. Well, listen, Eric, I hear your point. I mean, it's been very debated. A lot of people agree with you. Joe in New Jersey. Joe, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
What's up, pal?
Hey, listen, especially with listening to your last caller there. You know what? I'm not saying Bradford's the greatest quarterback in the world, but you know what? I don't care who your quarterback is. You could put Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, anybody on that team last year, and they would not have succeeded. You have no line. You have no wideout. Just once, I want to see Bradford play with some weapons. I mean, I heard one of your guys today talk about that, oh, well, Bradford's not even as good as Kirk Cousins. I would love to have seen what Bradford could do with those three wideouts and that tight end in Washington.
Yeah, and you know what they also did? Washington loaded up with a lot of six offensive line. Washington had, I forget the percentage, but a very heavy percentage of plays late in the season with six offensive linemen. They were protecting Cousins. They were making it simple for him. Not as many reads. And you know, Jay Gruden did a great job coaching him up, and obviously Chip did a horrendous job with the Eagles' offense.
Well, and like I say, though, you know, to sit here and say that Bradford's not as good as Cousins, you didn't give him the weapons, you didn't give him the protection. I think you sign him and you put some people around him. And for all you people who talk about, oh, well, we're going to tank and draft a quarterback, look how many quarterbacks that were drafted high in college came out and failed. There's no guarantee there. You could have another 5 or 6 years of hunting for a quarterback when you could have had a guy here. That's not going to cost you a fortune.
All right, Joe, I appreciate the call. We got to get to Flyers hockey. Flyers and the Wild coming up at 7, pregame show in a couple of minutes. Enjoy the game. I'll be back tonight after the game. Obviously, we'll continue the conversation later on tonight. Have a great rest of the night. Thanks to Devon for producing the show. Flyers hockey next on the Fanatic.